We've already got to episode 10, Devilwog. It's been a while since we did the last one as well. On the previous episode, it was instantly as Melbourne finished. Vitality made another big win. We were chilling. We were streaming a bit. We were playing a lot of Counter-Strike. I haven't actually seen you too much this week, though. What have you been doing?
I've been playing a lot of Counter-Strike, actually. I mean, we played a tournament together, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Let's not mention that. That was a difficult tournament to play. We almost beat Get Right.
Well, we did pretty well. Pretty well, considering. The first game's a little bit choppy, but once we get further into the tournament,
not fair.
Yeah, just been playing Counter-Strike, trying to, you know, once you get a little bit of taste of Counter-Strike, you kind of want more and more and more and more. So I've been trying to grind a little bit, trying to get my skill up to a reasonable level for an old man like myself.
You say old man still, mate. There was some people in chat when they were streaming our games throughout that tournament. They were like, oh, Devwalk still got it. So yeah, you were impressed if you are there. Ted, one of the commentators, he was loving a bit of old Devwalk action coming into play. I have finally got a haircut. I finally don't look like a homeless person anymore because I'm going to Astana in... I'm leaving home in 3 hours and 12 minutes. So we need to be rapido with the podcast this time.
Did you pack everything already? Is everything at the door?
Packing. Not at the door. It's definitely not at the door. My wife's packing most things and I'm still going to go take the cat to where she needs to go as well. So it is going to be problematic. So let's crack on with it because we have started episode 10 of the All About Counter-Strike podcast. It is the 7th of May, 2025. For me in Ukraine, it is 18:48 p.m. For Devilwog, it is 17:48 p.m. Ukraine to Sweden, that's how we're doing it. No guests for this episode. We did have a special one lined up, but you're going to have to wait just a little bit because teams are busy right now. Things are going on. Things are happening. And I respect the players' time with it, but when we get them, it'll be important. I think we have to start here. We normally don't start with roster news. It's normally later on in the episode. But because of what's happened, the most unexpected things happened. Simple goes to FaZe Clan, Brokey put on the bench. I know Simple's going to get like the spotlight and attention in a lot of this, but we should probably start with a focus on Brokey because I wasn't completely down and out on him. He was very highlighted because of the mistakes people had seen him make. If we think to Bucharest, the game against Falcons, for example, we talk about just him not being able to have as much impact as he'd had previously. Something was definitely, I would call it a slump. I think I would personally say it's a fair thing to look at with him. But yeah, this was crazy because I didn't think FaZe, considering FaZe are known for like working through it all, grinding their way up, fighting their way up, I thought they would never do this before we go into the next couple of events. And now they've got Simple for Dallas and the Austin Major.
Yeah. I mean, if we just tone it down to the Brokey conversation, I think in the past, like if you're a team, you're playing, you're struggling, your riflers are struggling, you're not really finding any ground in rounds. I think a lot of it lands on the AWPer to kind of bail your team out of it. Mm-hmm. And if you're AWPer is also struggling to do that, you're going to fall into this very bad spiral of just continuously losing rounds. You don't get any space. You start to gamble. It just gets easier for the other team to both read you and outplay you. So I think the change makes sense considering Brokey is also I would consider a pretty passive AWPer in today's standard. If you look at, I think he's very good in these kind of scenarios where he's 1v4 with an AWP in close combat, snappy, kind of highlight the sections. But in the more standard game where you're continuously taking map control and trying to get a pick or two, I think that's where he kind of goes down a little bit in level. While I think he's really good in these like execute fast-paced scenarios rather than maybe the more map control-based play. But just looking at some of the numbers that he had in the past like 6 months on LAN. Noel, I can hear myself through your microphone. That's one of our producers. So just looking at his stats, right?
Yeah.
So we have a Brokey with a 1.03 rating 2.1. an impact rating of 0.91. Obviously being the star opener, but looking at like opponents he's facing, he has a 1.02 rating against top 50 opponents. That's 88 maps in the past 6 months, right?
Yeah.
He has versus top 30 opponents, 1.03, 83 maps. And then top 20 opponents, he's on 0.99, top 10, 0.91, and top 5 opponents, 0.95. So he's obviously, they're not getting what they maybe need from him to bail face out of this kind of slump they've been in, where it just feels like you're losing more and more hope on them. So I think the move makes sense. I think it's a risky move, even though, you know, Simple is obviously the GOAT. I don't think he's going to be at the same level as when he quit, as a lot of people are going to expect him to be. But he's definitely going to make impact on the server. And I think that he's going to make them, you know, he's the kind of opera that can take that kind of stance if they're struggling to take that pick, to get those entries, to get the rounds flowing. So in that sense, I think it's a great move.
I want to look at a couple of things here while we're still touching on the Brokey part, because I saw Rain's tweet. I'm going to read it out. Goodbye for now, my friend. Watching you grow up from the little kid from FPL to the man and player you are today has been nothing short of amazing. Wish you the best of luck in whatever the future holds for you, buddy. Obviously, the relationship these guys have had, what they've gone through over all of these years, right? And these championships and these grinds and different players that have come in and out of the team as well. Like, this is kind of the end of that old guard of Rops, Twists, Brokey, Carrigan, Rain, all in there. And for Rain, who's been through it all and seen it all, it's going to be a tough one for him. What was interesting, though, it was said that Rain was actually the one that reached out to Simple to try and get him in, you know, and say, like, do you want to come do this? Then Carrigan's tweet, roughest benching of my career. Something had to be done, and I want to really highlight this is not a blame on Brokey. The lineup didn't work and I used all my experience. But with this, we throw a Hail Mary at the major. Long term, we have no idea yet what's going to happen. I want to express that I know the beast is inside of him and I feel bad we couldn't get it out lately. We all failed in this team and that's the sad part. But I know and I hope we can get to see the beast in him again. Obviously, that's him talking about Brokey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of emotion in this move, but the biggest word there for me was Hail Mary, because this wasn't like some logical move. This wasn't like, you know what? We're going to get Simple. It's going to fix all our problems and everything's going to be great now. You know, it's not one of those moves, because I would say I love Sasha, right? And to me, he is the greatest player of all time and for right reasons. But in CS2, we don't know much from him. We don't see much from him. The positive before this coming in, right? And I'm not talking about the crap time he had when he went to Falcons, because if people want to hold Falcons, like some people were tweeting at me when I tweeted about what was happening with this move, they were like, oh yeah, but on Falcons, he didn't perform so well. I was like, did you see how terrible that lineup was? Like, Simple was never going to save that lineup. That was never going to be a fun time for anyone. And I think it's only like a few series he played. Some of them were even best of ones. The major just should have never happened. That was, I don't know what they were doing. It would have been better to keep some pious at that point. But it was just some dumb decisions from whoever was involved in making that happen. The thing I keep saying with this move is I need to see Simple playing practice with FaZe all day or whatever their schedule is, grinding it out. And then I want to see the old Simple of 2021, 2020, 2019, where he's then banging face it every single time. And I mean, I'm not talking about one or two games. I'm talking about five, six games. And I know it's going to be tough. He's 27 now. He's, you know, he's won everything in the game. He's been the best player in the world. He's won the major. He's done things that other players still can't do. But I don't care. If I want to see the very best of him, he needs to be back and on that level. Now, what's interesting, I'm looking at his face it. Yesterday, he was playing some games with Carrigan. I don't know who else is in here right now, but Elise is in there as well. Okay, so he's got Elise and Carrigan in there. I'm glad you looked at that at the same time. It's only two games, you know? Two games with Carrigan, one game with Elysian there. But he was fragging like crazy. 28 and 22, 1.27 KD. Him, Elysian, Carrigan were actually the ones beasting on it. The game where it was just him and Carrigan, he was 1.5 KD, 18 for 12, you know. It's good.
I mean,
it's positive.
It is good. There is a big difference going from a face-it game and jumping into pro Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
There is that. So I think, you know, I think there's no one is doubting, you know, Simple's ability in the game mm-hmm. at all. I think it's a lot of it is more into what is the current meta. Because I think when Simple was the best, it was not only his skill that you saw on the screen and how he flicked, it was how well he reads the game, how yeah. well he is in tune with what people are going to do. So he positioned himself right, he made the right pushes at the right time, and put himself in the scenarios to be able to do that. So I think when you look at maybe the doubter side of the Simple, it's not being active in practice for a long yeah. period of time. Not seeing all the strategies, not being able to adjust his mental to all of these different possibilities and things that are kind of in meta right now. So I think mm-hmm. that is kind of the hurdle that he needs to go through, not necessarily his individual capacity, because everyone knows it's there.
But we know it's there. I now still, as his friend, as someone who massively supports what he does, I still need to see that motivation shown. Zywoo was just overtaking him with all the MVPs, yeah? Zywoo and Vitality having a phenomenal year. Donka Manasi popped off last year and they're still up there right now. Zywoo is 23, 24. Donk is 18. Manasi is now 20. Sasha is 27. That's nothing bad, but if you've got it inside you right now, that's where you stand up, you fucking pump up your chest and you sit there and say, there's a reason I'm the GOAT. There's a reason everyone says I'm a generational talent. I'm going to come here. I'm going to get back into good shape and I'm going to farm to the best of my ability. And it's not going to be easy because just standing in, it's not enough time to be settled into it. But yeah. the one thing I say is a silver lining here. This is the best leader he would have ever played in. And I 100% sure he's going to respect everyone on that team. There's only one question mark I have on this whole new phase. And it's, you'll remember this, by the way, Elige and Simple back together. Because I have a quote. Wait a sec. Here we go. Simple. I brought this up earlier.
Is this all the way back from...
Yeah, this is the Liquid Times.
The Liquid days.
This is the Liquid Times. So, Hiko, yeah, mentioned... Hiko, by the way, and Simple had like
I remember
friendship.
That tournament, by the way. I was there.
Oh, you were... Oh, it was even better. So, Simple and... Hiko had an amazing relationship. Hiko commented, but neither Simple or Elise have ever confirmed or said anything about it. But it basically says that there was a clash of personalities between Simple and Elise. Now, Simple, you know, he gets frustrated at his teammates. If someone's not playing the game like the way he thinks or to that very high level, you see his frustrations. He'll tell them, what the hell are you doing? Don't make that move. Elise is kind of that way as well, right? Has to have this certain vision of the game and the way he wants to play. This is the only thing that feels like it could explode on FaZe completely is if this comes back. Now, they've both got older. They've both won a lot more. This was 2016, yeah? That's nearly 10 years. It's 9 years of time for them to grow. But if they have not grown, Carrigan and Neo and whoever else is going to have to manage the hell out of that, because that could be a ticking time bomb as an event gets close or a crazy moment happens and it's not going the way they want, you know, because we always spoke about that FaZe comeback mechanic they can have in there. Carrigan's got a lot more than just what's happening in the server. I know he'll know how to use Simple. I know how, if anyone can make a stand in work, it is Carrigan. I know that Simple will respect Rain. He'll respect Neo. He'll respect, I would assume he will give some sort of respect to Frozen. Carrigan, he'll definitely respect as well. But he needs to just be able to do what he does best and have some of that freedom as well. Because he won't be leashed up, right? He won't be sat there in the back throwing flashes for everyone. He's not going to be that supportive AWPer.
No, definitely not. But I do think, you know, even if we're talking about this baggage and stuff, you know, there's a difference between standing in and having to grind with a teammate for a very long time. So I think both of them can probably tough it out for a couple of weeks and then see where the future leads, you know. So I don't think there's going to be any massive drama early on.
No, I'm not saying
there
drama.
Might be
I'm
an awkward, there might be an awkward meeting in the beginning, but then they sit on separate sides of the desk and play the game, you know.
Do you know who they need there? Good old faithful Robin. Robin was even bought, by the way, he was at Bucharest when I was in Bucharest. Robin still works for FaZe. Obviously, he used to be the coach, but he's no longer in that position. Eddie is their manager. Eddie's a legend, by the way. Undefeated major champion coach. Just came in. They win all the games while he's coaching behind. He's just there for the vibes and good time. But Robin was like the one who had the dad aura, the bringing it together. He made sure things were working and everyone could talk about the problems they had. That's how I've understood it from the multiple interviews, multiple times it's been spoken about. He needs to be there now, every step of the way. I know he's got kids. I know he's busy. I know it's not maybe his full time what he has to focus on. But if it's just Dallas and just Austin, I want to see Robin there every day. I want to see even Robin on practice. I don't even care if he joins the coach slot. Just get him in there. Just make him involved in everything to give them some chance of
I would assume they're probably thinking along that line to just have as many people on hand to help out and make sure things work because...
Bodyguards,
they're throwing a lot of people, like they're throwing everything in one basket right now. So, you know,
that's the Hail Mary.
But it's not only, you know, obviously Rain, I assume, is coming back for the major. It's just gone for one tournament with Skulls coming in. So,
and also, by the way, just on that, potentially gone away because obviously maybe if she gives birth now, while Astana's going on, maybe he'll still come to Dallas. But that Skulls is listed there as the stand-in for now. That's how I understood him.
Yeah, but so having double stand-in and just, I think it's going to be very liquid-esque in the way, like there's going to be a lot of misunderstandings. It's not going to be in the same pacing of the game and things are going to probably not look that good, I assume. But obviously they're trying their best to kind of get everything in with playing multiple facets and pugs together just to get to know each other a little bit better and how you think about Counter-Strike. But I still think it's kind of a tough task to just throw something like that in, even if you are simple. It's tough to jump in as a stand-in.
And just one thing, right? If you're going to romanticize this does look like cinema, though. If we think of runs where it was what? Carrigan had JKS stand-in, had him stand in for multiple different people on the same team.
I mean, Carrigan has won a tournament with a standing coach
multiple times.
Yeah, so you know, be good with the goat.
So, like, this is a player you can definitely fit in. But I feel like for Carrigan, this is also a test for him personally. You know, there's a lot of emotion with this, with Brokey going out. There's a lot of sadness because they've had such a bad run for a extended amount of time that he's not been able to solve. When he says Hail Mary, that is, I've got simple. I now need to get him back to shape, in form, and dominating at one of the biggest events of the year. And remember, last year, the only two majors we had, Copenhagen and Shanghai, they were in both grand finals. They didn't win it, but that was impressive on its own, considering how up and down their year was. Now you've got to try and make some magic happen with simple playing on your team. And that comes with extra pressure as well, but it's also going to come with, I don't know. I guess he's never even been able to have an AWPer like this that he could have used, you know? When has Carrigan had this as an option?
Device, if...
How long ago was that?
That was like, what was it?
2015? Yeah.
14 maybe.
And they're very different AWPers anyway, but that's the last time he had like the superstar AWPer to play with in that sense.
So obviously there's good to come from this because FaZe were stagnant. You were living in this dream world where essentially every time they had a break, you thought the old FaZe is going to come back. They're going to be back to this FaZe magic and just kind of grind out victories, get better once the playoffs hit. And they never really got to that point. And it just felt like they got, you know, worse and worse. So I think, you know, bringing in these changes is something that could not only revitalize, you know, like team itself, like each individual player, because when you get fresh blood in, you have to put your head down and do a lot of work, not only for yourself, but also for other people. You have kind of relearn your positions in a way that suits each member of the team again. And I think that's where maybe they could actually find a lot more flaws in their game, a lot more, you know, fixes, maybe this new perspective coming in, why we're doing it like this, this might be better, could kind of sort them out a little bit. So hopefully that is going to be the case for them going into these tournaments.
With what you were just saying there, though, right, about like a getting Simple's perspective on the game, right? And obviously that blade system we talk about, and also just the way Simple sees the game. Yeah. Do you feel like that could fix some of the problems we saw in recent times phase? Like, is that a potential solution?
Oh, there's definitely potential solutions there. I think especially, you know, FaZe I've never really seen as being a very, very structural team. Mm. And I think even adding a little bit of structure from like that blade perspective or Simple of how he's been used to playing Counter-Strike could definitely fix a lot of things for them in CS2. Because CSGO was a game where individual kind of decision-making and prowess, moving around on the map on your own, was a lot less dangerous than it is in CS2. And a lot of this is obviously because you can break smokes and get picks anyways, even though you've secured kind of a part of the map. Mm-hmm. So getting it a little bit more systematic could definitely benefit FaZe at this point, because they've always kind of relied on that linking up, almost like a little bit Swedish-esque style of Counter-Strike, where they trust the individuals a lot when they play Counter-Strike. And then, you know, obviously Kerrigan just jumps in and takes over. But in the start of things, they usually end up playing that way.
Do you know what? It's crazy, because I saw so many comments of people saying like, they doubt Simple's motivation. Like, why would he take this? Why would he join a team on loan again? You know, why would he trial? People have to remember that, first of all, his buyout from Na'Vi is crazy, so a lot of teams won't be able to do it. So he's also just waiting out that time. Second of all, we already touched on the Face It games, right, as an example. It's not looking good in terms of the amount of games he's played, for sure. But I will say, he was recently away with some friends before this announcement came out. He was posting it. He was streaming some cooking and dancing at one point as well. Let him do his own thing, sure. But I mean, he was also in the gym. He was also making a small positive changes in like personal life, which I'll say, that is good. You know, if you see him going to the gym again, wanting to play some more CS, gearing up and getting ready for this, that's the trajectory I want. But I will just end it on saying, I need to see that hardcore grind come out. I need to see that. I want to be feeling the game. And I don't care if it's just some Face It. I don't care if it's some friends with games with friends, for example. I want to just see him getting to that flow state of feeling the game that he has not had a professional level of experience on and hasn't had that much game time experience on. I know he wasn't the biggest fan of CS2 at the beginning, right? He made that very clear. But now you got to deal with where you got with this game. And now we've got to see that motivation be at the highest.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is just adjusting. You know, we talked even to Monacy in where we had a chat with him, you know, how to adjust to the CS2 AWPing. I think that's something that Simple probably never really did to 100%. So I think having a little bit more time off, seeing other players play big tournaments, you can kind of copy to a certain extent what you see even in pro games, you know, how deep are holding the angle, because I know Simple, he could hold the pixelist gap and still hit the shot, right? And it's not really the case in CS2 because the swings are just so damn fast. You can't really do that anymore. So I'm sure they've taken on this knowledge and probably some of the struggles that FaZe has had, you know, jumping into CS2 and relearning the game to an extent, will probably help him with that kind of regaining form.
In terms of regaining that form, I've got to regain my blood sugar. Don't worry, I'm sipping on my... That's where my beeping comes from all the time. The diabetic
moments.
I'll hide
this can.
No, I'm good. I've got my sugar by the side of me. I want to also look at the fact that Skull's coming in just for Dallas. We already touched on it a little bit, but it's like, if Rain will not be able to participate, right? That's a key factor. If Rain doesn't participate, I also just think that I really hope Rain does get to go to Dallas, because real tournament experience is very important with that whole team. And if it's only him changing, it's not too much of a problem. But if it's Rain also out for one tournament, that kind of kills the Dallas like hype of Simple coming back. And I think that will also give them a bit of an uneasy understanding of how this is going to work, especially before a major, you know? The ramp up is like, you basically got a tester tournament after doing some practice, if you can have the full team in Dallas. How important do you see that as? Because for me, that's the biggest thing right now, which could be sad. It's like, Skull standing in, fair play to him. I've got no problem with him being a stand-in. It's just the timing and the situation of it all.
Well, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it from your perspective, but you could also look at it from a perspective of, we don't have any pressure coming into this tournament. We have two stand-ins. We're trying to make things work on short notice. No one's going to have that big expectations. I mean, if you're looking at the pre-game, you know, analyst desk, I doubt anyone's going to be like, okay, FaZe is going to destroy everyone on the server. So they're going to have a little bit of a pass with this tournament, the opening tournament. And they could essentially only exceed expectations going into it. So I think there's also kind of a good thing to play without that pressure.
Really?
Yeah, it is. I think especially a first tournament like this. I mean, if Liquid had practiced, for example, like 5-6 weeks with Shui, and then come in and just fucking bombed it, people would be like, oh my God, this is terrible.
Yeah, true.
But now you don't have that expectation. People don't put that pressure on it. Yes, I know it's simple. People are going to expect him to perform, mm-hmm. but he's still going to have a little bit of pass from maybe not the entire fan base, but at least some of it.
No, he definitely won't have a pass from some of the fan base. Because do you know what? It's like, I also wrote in one tweet, it's his chance to prove the haters wrong. And everyone was like, prove what? He's already washed. I'm like, how are some people saying this? Like, you can't go through him being washed from that one journey he had with Falcons. There's no way anyone
people
really
love
at
this like washed thing, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
it's such a new word.
You know, I went to this like one-on-one shootout thing that was in my city.
Yeah.
And there came like a bunch of guys, like 5-6 guys, and they're like, we're gonna destroy this washed, you know. I almost said it.
Yeah.
Okay, but people love this like washed thing where, you know, I was playing this 1v1 tournament. There was like a thing here in Umeå in my city. And there came like 5-6 guys and they're like, we're going to beat this guy. He's so washed. I ended up beating them all. And they were like, maybe he's not that washed.
How old are they when they're saying you're washed?
Well, they were like in their young 20s, I'd probably say. And some of the guys... One of the guys had played in like you know, like a Swedish, you know, the elite series, this is called like
Yeah.
So they weren't bad, but we played in a pretty rough setup, I would say. It felt like 60 hertz and, you know,
oh God,
mouse acceleration, but I'm not a materialistic player, so I just jump in, I play, and it works fine. Yeah.
Plays no problem. Yeah, there is too much of using this term washed. Like every single time some player has a bad performance, I don't know why this has become a thing that washed is now the go-to, but it's like, I'm not calling Simple that. Like, until he isn't being picked up by anyone and just isn't playing well while even playing face it, then maybe you can say it there, but it's a long way away.
It's one of these things, like, anyone, I swear to you all, anyone can get good at the game aim-wise, anyone. There is nothing stopping anyone. No one is like this mega talent in everything. Donk is not just a guy that aims.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about that. You know, Simple has so much experience. He knows the game. He knows how it's played, what's important, what isn't. And that, the grinding his aim up, and he can do that. He can do that. It doesn't matter if he's 27 years old or he's 30. He can get to a similar level where he was individually, and he still has that knowledge. I could bet anything on that. So I don't think, you know, people should put too much into the basket of how people look individually how sharp they are, because that can be grinded with enough time. Obviously, when you're in a pro circuit and you're continuously playing game, it's much harder to kind of grind that up, because you're continuously in practice. You don't get as much time to kind of focus on that in some sense. So that I can get. It's harder when you're in it.
Yeah, for sure. But I will say, right, if we look at his last, I'm going to look at the stats for Simple, because I'm looking at his last matches. This is how we're going to end it, right?
Yeah.
His last event for Falcon, obviously they didn't qualify at the Shanghai Major, 0.99 rating. It's not great, of course. Then Challenger, they came 7th to 8th, 1.06 ratings, again with Falcons. Thunder Pick was 13th to 16th, so that's an online tournament, I believe, 1.17 rating. He can still put up numbers, he can still fight, and I feel like this is the best place he can do it right now. This is the best place for him to show what he can do under good leadership, under a team that is, yes, struggling, but he's coming in as that surprise factor, the Hail Mary, as Carrigan called it, in order to help them try and do something drastic to improve the problems they have.
Yeah.
And if there's any man to do it, it's him right now, especially with what's available on the market.
I mean, I'll be honest, though. I thought they would go for Dexter, who had, like, great form.
A lot of people
did. With Falcons. Yeah, and it does make sense, you know. But this Hail Mary, I can only, you know, hope that it kind of works out the way we all want it to be.
Yeah. We'll have to see. It's a lot on the shoulders of all these players, and... I know that for basically Dallas is not an interesting event, not because it's Dallas's fault. Dallas could be an epic event in terms of matches we see, but because it's so close to the major, it's going to be hit with that, like, what are teams really doing? They're just taking part in it because they have to, you know, or they're trying to get some additional points before they go into the next season. So we'll come to a Dallas preview after Astana anyway, but it's more just exciting now because we've got Simple there and he's on face. That's it. That's what's going to be crazy. A Ukrainian flag on the FaZe jersey. Symbol sat there. Let's see what can happen. We'll stick with roster news, though. We'll stick with roster news because we broke up the dynamic of what we normally do within the podcast here on All About Counter-Strike. Next, we're going to go and looking at the rumors right now. And this is a rumor that's actually quite exciting for me. Sun Pius and Saul to potentially go to G2. So I believe the first people that reported on it was Sheep Esports. It says, sources, G2 Esports has reached verbal agreements with Heroic, Sun Pius, and Coach Saw effective after the Austin Major. Now, I don't know if you saw it, but the G2 CEO went on the HLTV Confirmed podcast.
Yeah.
Because obviously those guys are always ripping on G2. And he tried to clear up some of the things, obviously, that came off the back of our podcast with Munacy and what was being said. The interesting part is that he said, like, I remember one quote, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase it because I can't remember the exact line, but it was, we kind of had Taz there with like the vibe kind of thing, you know, helping out with the vibes because everyone else in the team knew like what to do. So at the time, Taz was the right
choice. I think it was like they thought their team was, you know, already so knowledgeable tactically that it wasn't really that they were looking for. They wanted someone to kind of make sure that the team functioned well together and kind of be that more of a Robban type that you spoke about earlier, to kind of make sure, you know, every part works with each other to make the greater good, right?
Which is completely fine, right? If that's what you feel like you needed at the time. So then that would mean Taz goes out, Saw comes in. Saw has been able to work wonders time and time again with teams that maybe didn't look so good on paper, maybe overperformed compared to the pieces they had, you know, getting the best out of his players. What do you think of Saw as a coach, though? Because, like, he's very quiet. He's very reserved, typically Finnish. But he certainly has an eye for good players and making things work. I feel like he is someone who can not just teach, but also structure and understand when to make changes.
No, I've always rated him very, very highly. Obviously, when they were in ENCE with Mad and Snappy and all those guys, I obviously had a pretty close relationship with Madden since he went from, you know, our team to there. So I had a little bit of bit of insight from kind of his perspective, and after, you know, hearing some of the things that he said, I just knew he was a brilliant coach. You know, he's very good tactically. He's very good at, you know, bringing the players down, taking one-on-one talks and explaining things to a level what they need to do for either a strat or a default to function, right? So he feels like a very prep heavy coach that you know, just makes sure that everyone knows what's going on and is synced in what they need to accomplish on the server. So I have high praises for him. I think he seems like a brilliant coach. I was, even this one year he was nominated for Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked he didn't actually win it.
Yeah, the metrics on it, right, are very different to maybe what you might think compared like how people vote things in, how people rate it. Like someone like Ash, for example, who's done wonders, you don't even see him get up there on the chance of winning that, you know?
No,
despite what we may see of him being successful.
There's always this different perspective. I always try in my head kind of what has he done with the sum of his parts and compare the parts and then what they've done. And I think Saw is on a very, very high list there in terms of coaches. So that's why I rate him so highly.
And then what's interesting here, right, is if we think of all the stuff we said about Saw and what I will see as like a G2 rebuild, you've got Heavy God and Malbs, who are a little bit less experienced, right? This would probably be a very good thing for them. Hunter, obviously, he's got a lot of experience. He knows what he's doing. He can probably be the glue that works with him. I know they've asked Hunter to be in-game leader before. Do they ask him to be it again? Does Snacks go out when Taz goes out as well? That's a question that I'd have looked at there. And then, obviously, Hades right now is the stand-in. I do feel a bit bad for him. I'm not saying, like, I feel like for Hades, actually, DM'd him and told him, like, don't try and be Munacy. Just be the best version of you can be. Like, go out and show what you can do, you know, when you've got a team like this around you, because this is a huge chance for him. But I do feel that, like, when you see this news and you are the stand-in, it's like, great, they're not even trying to look at me as a constant member. But
it's also Sam Pius again replacing Hades.
Yeah, it's like, this is rough, you know? So he's going to either go two ways with this. He can be really sad and be like, oh, it's Sam Pius again. This is going to suck. Yeah. Or he goes, I don't give a damn anymore. He's done it once, but he's not doing it twice. But maybe the relationship between Sam Pius and Saw, they just want to stick together. Maybe that's part of the deal. But I will say that, like, I think Sam Pius has re-look at him in a way with a more positive light. I was very, like, underwhelmed by him. Obviously, once he came off that Falcons project, I didn't know if he'd even have another chance at a very big top tier team. With Heroic, he came as the most experienced player, and he has been proving to me time and time again, he wants to dominate. He wants to be back there again. He wants to look in the best shape possible. So if you get the very best of Sam Pius, him on G2 could be pretty good.
Yeah.
But
I think this
could be a positive move for G2. It just depends on what happens with the in-game leader and Snack situation at the same time.
I will say, I think this is a massive upgrade for G2. Just because I think even if you put Hunter into an IGL role, having someone that is as strategic as always as a coach, you could essentially prep your way into a game and you just need to be the voice of reason in that game, right? So I think in terms of like taking over an IGL responsibility, having someone like that behind you is going to make that transition very, very easy. Comparably, if you are going to be the guy, you know, taking all the controls, I think you kind of get a chance to ease him into it as they develop like Saw's system. If this is determined to be the case that they join G2. And I also think Sam Pius is a very good AWPer. He always was like this, very good at holding angles, knows when to re-peek, seems to position himself like almost to perfection. More of a device style AWPer rather than this kind of crazy AWPer like a Monacy or So I think it's overall very, very positive signs. And I think it's the only right move G2 can make on the market, if I'm honest.
But also, when you're saying about some pious, one thing that I could just be talking out of my ass here, by the way.
Yeah.
But I just remember him being a player that even when he was new to stages, he was elevated by it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know, this is just in my head because I'm thinking of some like flashy clips or something. But I just remember him being better on a stage and me going, okay, this guy doesn't give a damn. Like, he's just good. Like, he's just hitting all the shots he needs to hit and the pressure's not getting to him.
Like, when he was playing in Ants, he was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That was probably the time I'm remembering that.
Unbelievable.
That's probably the moments.
And, you know, this is also like a little bit of insight, you know, obviously from Madden. But he told me back then that he was incredibly good at moving riflers around while he was playing so that they could get into setups and, you know, position themselves logically. So he's not an opper that just, you know, quiet on the server doing his job. Yeah. He actually helps out with moving pieces around. So
I'm really glad you said that. That's huge. Yeah, that puts him now even further up on my expectations of what I want to see from him now. That's brilliant. That's really good news. And you know what? I will just say for Heroic again, I'm going to keep praising this organization. No matter what you guys do, you keep winning because everyone's buying your players. You must be the most winning organization without taking a trophy home because you're just selling players, coaches, whoever else, and going like this at the end of every chance.
They've been really early with making these like kind of,
I wouldn't say risky moves, but definitely
a little bit more on the...
I'm going to look down it now. I'm going to look down Heroic's like transfers and just see how this has been for the team. So we go down roster. Yeah. So they take Nilo, Youngster, X-Flaud, Tenir, LNZ. Yeah. And then Sun Pius. Sun Pius is probably the only one that was like expensive. I'm not even sure what he cost, but I mean, everyone else wasn't going to be costing you mega money. You sold Tessus, Shush, Nerds, Kicksan, Dexter. Like, you were just selling and winning.
But I'm pretty sure that Saw might be, you know, a pretty hefty buyout as well. Because I think
Heroic, he must be.
Yeah, because I think Heroic has been banking on him to make all of this work for them.
Yeah.
With his experience in both scouting and kind of assembling a team. So I would be very surprised if Heroic just let Saw go and they just buy some Pius, which sometimes is the case with coaches that they don't really have a buyout. Kind of just follow along and some weird
go with a team. No, I think Saw would definitely cost, right?
Yeah.
I was wrong about Shush. He parted ways with Heroic, so he's just went out and he went where he wanted to go. But like Nerds to Liquid, Tessus, Dexter, and Kicksand to Falcons, that is money. That is money moves. And the organization is still doing very well. Fair play to them on that. But there's no other roster move for us to look at. This one we seem both very positive about. I think this can work out. I think anything that's
definitely exciting, you know? And it's shaping up to be a very interesting major. Once again, I want the major now.
That way, I feel bad because like Astana is exciting because we've got more teams. We'll come onto it later with like players who are making their first appearance under a new team. But then Melbourne's too close to the major for me to take too many of the results seriously. Like that's where I'm not Melbourne.
But
Dallas.
You get this feeling that the major is creeping up. It's slowly getting there.
We're just there. We're just there. By the way, there's one more thing I want to touch on in roster moves that I didn't put into our document. And we have to touch on it because we touched on it so much before. So Ninjas in Pyjamas is the last bit we're going to touch on here. They went to level up Lund. We were super disappointed with them. They lost straight away to TNL, the Ukrainian team. We went on to win the whole event.
We said touched they were this, right?
Yeah, they were attending Level Up Lund and they were attending Fragadelphia Las Vegas. You said you wouldn't be surprised if they didn't win any of those tournaments.
They did
But we
win.
Did both say they must win one of these tournaments. Thankfully, they had to go to America to do it, but they went all the way to North America, to Las Vegas, and they did win the whole tournament.
I will say, though, I watched that NRG NIP game and NRG should have won.
I was gonna say, did you see the train? Because I only saw highlights from it.
Yeah, I saw the train. That's the game. Bro. Because I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched the train. And I think at one point there was like a huge lead for NRG to kind of close it
out. They were 8-4 in the first half. Let me give you the exact lead they had. So at one point, They got to 12 last, but they were 8-4 up. So they were 8-4 up, and then there was a string of CT rounds coming in from NIP.
Yeah.
I only saw the highlights, but I'll just say that they almost fell to NRG, but they did then 3-0 the grand finals. It's a great result for them, but still they're being made to sweat for it. And now they're going to Astana.
Well, Astana is the one event, like, you know, they kind of have to go all in on this.
Yeah, it's
their major. They need these points. They need them to kind of get some more invites, mm-hmm. and this is their chance. So, yeah, it's gonna be. That's probably one of these like kind of side things that's a little bit interesting on the Astana tournament.
Yes, it's one of those things where they're just at the moment using this as their springboard to see how much further they can go with this roster. I think because. Yeah, they've made some mistakes. They definitely made some mistakes. But we do get to go back in time a little bit for anyone that was watching. Blast Rivals 2025, me and Devil gave you some, I'll say, interesting predictions, I guess. That's probably the best way to put it.
We tried.
We both said Vitality were, yes, the favorites to win the whole thing. But we predicted a Falcon Spirit final, given the jet lag and everything else coming in from Vitality.
Predicted is also the wrong way to okay. say it. We were hoping.
We were hoping for something special, something different, right? Yeah. That's for sure. I will say this event was just very weird. I know it wasn't supposed to be in a studio. It was supposed to be in Mexico. We'd already touched on that when we did the preview for the tournament. It was only 8 teams. It was quite low prize money as well. It felt like a strange event just in how everything was being done and how the teams came into it. Obviously, it had a lot of not invited teams. What do you call them? Wild card teams, as the VRS is. Wild card invite from NA, Asia, SA. And then even Falcons was a wild card EU invite. Obviously, this wasn't the same Falcons when they were invited that what we see now here today. But it's like wild card making it through to playoffs. They did pretty good considering, you know, like they went up against the Pain with new players, but they won the game they were supposed to win. You know, I think that's the only way of looking at it. You lost to Vitality, you lost to Spirit, but you did beat Pain, who didn't have a full team with them. I feel like this was the best opportunity teams had to try and take down Vitality, and especially Mouse, you know. But it's just Vitality are too damn good. They're just
Vitality
too damn good.
Is too damn good. But I will say Mouse, they're kind of creeping in there. They're kind of getting a little bit better and better. Like, it's not by much, but it's a few rounds extra every time they play them. So there's, I think that's a good sign.
I kind of disagree with you, though, because in my mind, right, I looked at it as like when they played each other in the upper final, I thought, okay, they won the first map. They've been able to take maps off them now, right? We've known that was the case. And then I just wanted a little bit more. And I thought this was going to be the time to do it. Maybe I just romanticized this too much in my head of like, this was going to be the time that Mouse beat Vitality. But Vitality weren't letting that streak go. Individually, the players they needed to were popping off. And even Spinks playing well didn't save them.
The one thing I'll say to your point about this is that if you look at Train, the last map, Mouse converted both pistols. If you look at Inferno, Mouse won both pistols, but didn't convert either of them.
Oh, that's the worst
one. And on, so there was one pistol they lost, which then the Vitality didn't convert. So if we kind of balance out the pistols, it's probably a more dominant game for Vitality. Exactly. But at the same time, you know, I still think there's hope for the Mouse Vitality matchup, but it's just not right now.
Yeah,
Vitality is way too strong, and it's, you know, it's a little bit worrisome because we do want to have people that could take them off their throne in some sense.
We'll come on to the other team that does have more chance to take them off their throne, but Spirit's not one of those teams. Spirit lost to Falcons in their upper final to put Falcons into the semis. You did nail this one on the head as well. I thought it might have actually be Spirit to be able to do it, but Nico was having a monstrous game. He was playing really well. Did you see that lovely little clip where Manasi was like, "It's so good to be back playing with you, Bratan."
No, I didn't see that one.
There's a bit where basically, like, Nico did something. I think it was on Dust 2, and Nico just, like, slaughtered everyone, you know? People come pushing out of B tunnels. He turns around. There's another player coming through window. Nico reads it perfectly, gets the kill. And, like, you hear the voice comms afterwards. And, like, Manasi's like, "It's so good to be back with you, Bratan." You know, like, playing with you again. Just because he's seen. And that's Manasi getting hyped about Nico's moment, you know? But yeah, that was dominant. That was very good. That was a great game.
It's a great game. And there was definitely a chance for Spirit. But I will say, Spirit had this game. They kind of threw it away, or maybe not throw it away. I don't necessarily think Spirit threw it away, but I do remember Donk picking up AWP in two of the overtimes on CT side, the two first rounds, and they got destroyed because of it. They didn't really have the rotation speed and movement that they usually
did.
Do
we see that often? I don't think so.
No, not often at all. I think he got one kill with the AWP on two rounds. He's definitely more deadly with a rifle in his hand. But
was this a surprise factor?
It just felt a little bit off. Why put him on the double AWP? Just put like Chopper or someone else on that B side. Yeah, just someone else. But the one thing I will say about Falcons is they've continuously impressed me with, like, they can be in games where the opponent, they have 11-5 against them, and they're, you know, they're taking pauses, they're restructuring things, and they're continuously grinding their way into an overtime, and they're consistently winning overtimes. So I think even against Vitality, consistently they're winning overtimes. So that's more impressive than maybe I can explain in words, because it is incredibly tough. And you have a very short amount of time to kind of restructure. And usually when you get to that point, the strat book is like revealed. This is the moves we have. These are the moves you have. How are we going to play this, you know? So to kind of do it right in that sense, I want to praise Kixon a little bit for that. Having an IGL that could make the crucial calls. This could also be a little bit on Nico as well. But I want to put a little bit more highlight on Kixon to be able to consistently perform and get the right calls, the right rounds in overtimes to shut the game down. I think is an attribute that is very, very, very underrated.
Oh, for sure. Now, looking at the playoffs we had, I already know we touched on a little bit of it anyway, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go through a couple of the other games that we had in there. So, Mouse versus FaZe, I didn't expect much from FaZe anyway. Spirit versus Wildcard, didn't expect much from that. Vitality taking on Spirit.
I mean, are we going to touch that FlyQuest almost beat FaZe?
Yeah. I wasn't going to rub salt in the wound anymore. Especially considering what we know happened now.
Yeah, yeah. True.
Yeah. After the changes, it's like, it was bad. They still won it. They did it in FaZe way, you know? And Brokey's out anyway. So yeah. I'm not gonna focus
Let's
in on
skip
it
that
too
one
much.
Then.
We've done enough positive talking about FaZe. Yeah. I'm not gonna bring us back down into the madness. But I will say, both semi-final games were not as exciting as I was hoping them to be. In my mind, they were a lot more exciting. We did get a bit of overtime in Falcons' mouths. But Falcons, honestly, I think I said it last episode, just like how well the mouths players usually play against Manasi from his old days, and it didn't happen this time. It didn't happen at all.
No, but it's kind of a repeat of the last time they played against each other. I feel like Falcons are just really good at neutralizing Mouse kind of fast-paced, you know, kind of ballsy rotation into things, and they kind of get tricked in a sense, and they can't really play their whole style fully because of what Falcons does. So I think they're a little bit throws them off.
Yeah, the game,
I think it's a little bit of an anti-matchup, you know, for them, where, you know, Mouse isn't necessarily a worse team than Falcons, but Falcons just play a way that's really annoying for Mouse kind of approach.
And it was tough for Mouse to take as well, because I feel like, especially with how close it got on Nuke, right? What was it? Was it double overtime or single overtime?
It was 16-14.
Okay. So it was a regular CSGO game. But it was like, at least if you're Mouse, you probably thought, okay, look, we're pushing better, we can fight against them. But then on Dust 2, which is just tried and tested for Falcons now, it's like, what can you do? It's such a good map for them.
Yeah.
Then we had Vitality against Spirit. I don't know. I'm just going to say this. I know Rops is obviously the one that comes in and lots of things change positively for Vitality. But it's like, this Zywu, there's no way he's allowing Donk to have number one of the year this year. It's not happening, man. It's not happening. Oh my God.
I think the difference is class. Like, it's one step above from Vitality. But I also think they're so damn good, Vitality. I keep saying this probably every episode, and we'll probably continue to say this every single episode. They're so good at trying to neutralize wherever Donk is going, throwing nades at him, keeping him low HP. He can still do damage, don't get me wrong, but it's the difference between him headshotting you and you having to shoot one bullet in the leg. It's pretty massive. Yeah. So I think they're constantly, every time I see Dust 2, every time Donk goes lower stairs, they have the perfect timing with a double nade straight at his feet. They're consistently just being annoying to him. And I think that really neutralizes Donk's kind of input in a game. And they've done that really, really well. And I think that's why they look so dominant against them.
And I think as well, when you've got a player like, we just look at Apex, who obviously wouldn't be very highlighted within a series like this normally. But Apex makes some crazy moves where he will happily throw himself out to that fight in order to give the information to the rest of his team to then do what they need to do, you know?
Now, this is the game where Apex actually... It's the Mirage clip where Apex clutches against the Donk and he says, who is Donk? It's Apex.
Still got the best trash talk, man. Yeah. I love it. He's to keep going, man. He's just in absolute flow state, epic aura, while his team does unthinkable things to everyone.
Yeah, but I just imagine being like his teammate. You're going to have the time of your life playing and listening to all that trash talk, like while you're playing.
Right. Even Zywoo's got louder, by the way. He's not trash talking, but he's just cheering more. He's just in the game more, like actively as a voice. I just hear, woo! And he's standing up and he's cheering, like it's rubbing off on him. If we get Zywoo trash talk at the major, my year is made. I'll be happy. Yeah. Let's just go. That's it. Give me some form of Zywoo trash talk, please. Bring that to the table, mate. Make it
would happen. Be amazing to see.
Let's look at the final quickly, because this was a very different final than what we saw in Melbourne. Both teams played in the final, then had to come to Blast in Copenhagen. Jet lagged, going through it all, and they go for the rematch. But this time around, Falcons win the Inferno that they absolutely dominated Falcons on. And I thought at that point, if I'm just looking at one map, Devil Walk, I said, okay, they've cracked it, because the Dust 2 from Falcons is amazing. But I want to ask you, because this is what I'm imagining. When teams have played against each other like this, right, there's certain things they'll fix on, then something else might drop off.
Yep.
I'm guessing Vitality were like, we can fix this and plug this hole and do this. And then some other parts of their game plan dropped off, which is why we saw the maps go down like we did. And which is why, again, we got to the final map of Nuke, because the veto was exactly the same.
So I'll say this, right? There's two parts of it. There's also, you know, one is it's always easier to prep if you're the one losing.
Okay.
So it's easier to figure out solutions to things that are good, because if you're the guy winning, are you dropping the things that were good or changing the things that were good? So that's like the kind of a weird...
Don't, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, you could say that. Some teams do either way, but you get into a weird conundrum with that. Like, if you're the winner, am I going to fix this? This worked. Why are we changing this, you know? Just because we're gambling on them fixing this issue or not. So it's always, from that perspective, easier to prep if you're the one losing a map.
Yeah.
So Falcons obviously prep there. I don't know exactly how the other maps went from the other final. I'm gonna look that up quickly.
So because the score lines.
Yeah, but which maps were actually won and lost by the other team?
Okay, so Inferno last time was won by Vitality, but Falcons won it this time. Dust 2 was won by Falcons in Melbourne, but Vitality won it this time quite convincingly as well.
Yeah.
Then Train last time was won by Vitality. Same thing happened here, but in a more dominant fashion.
Yeah.
Then it was on Mirage that it was the crazy overtime. And I will say this about that Mirage, right? Vitality made one hell of a comeback. It was, what, 9 rounds in a row after looking like you're down and out of the map. It was 12-3, and they managed to push the overtime. They probably thought they had them, and they had the whole series on that Mirage, but Falcons held it down. And that goes back to the point you were making, mate, that actually Falcons have that extra depth to them where they can come back into this.
But I don't even know if I've seen Falcons lose an overtime game.
Yes, it's in Melbourne.
Oh, yes, the one.
We watched it together, bro.
Yes. But that one, that's the only overtime I've seen them lose. And they consistently win every other one I've seen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's going back to my point, you know, it's always easier to prep if you lose the map. You know, Falcons obviously got destroyed. Vitality, what are they going to do? They destroyed them 13-2. What are they going to fix? The one thing is you can get into this weird flow, like, where you start imagining what the other team is going to fix and do. But it's guesswork at the end of the day. Yeah. So you can't really rely on it. And Falcons obviously found solutions. Same with Vitality found solutions for Dust 2. So they kind of swapped map there. But it's a damn interesting matchup. Like it's probably the best
so early on
matchup.
So early on. I started this year by saying Mal's Vitality is going to be the banger. This is like the teams are going back and forth, especially after what we saw in Lisbon. Falcons already in just 2 finals smashed it and said, no, we're doing it much better. I will say I started to believe again on Mirage. Yeah. But then Falcons did take Mirage. It was great. It just took a lot from them. It felt like when they got to Nuke, they didn't have it in them after that.
No.
They didn't have it in them. It was a great T side from Vitality as well. Apex are going to continue to praise his calling. It was so strong from them.
No, it felt like they ran out of gas a little bit. And, you know, you need your star players like Nico to kind of show up. And he did not have a great last map, which probably could have pulled them into that kind of overtime scenario if we're going to be completely fair. But it's also completely understandable. They're super new. They don't have everything in place. They're kind of riding a little bit of a momentum and honeymoon period. So it's going to be way more interesting seeing what teams are going to cook up. Because they're not facing each other up in Astana, right?
Both Falcons teams are not going to Astana. Both of them not going.
Both of them
don't
go going.
To any PGL. You remember with PGL events, there's no... There's no agreements between organizations and PGL. There's the club share, the money share now done, but there's no like hidden handshake agreements where you should attend
to
this many ESL events or blast points or whatever it is.
To be fair, that just makes the next tournament even more interesting because the other teams are staying home, they're practicing, they're filling those gaps, and they're probably going to have a little bit of focus about each other as well.
The last thing I want to point on with Rivals is that Zywoo got MVP, right? Again, another MVP. Yeah. I saw people complaining that, like, why didn't Donk get it? But, like, Donk wasn't even in the grand final. And yes, he was the highest rated player of the whole tournament with a 1.40. But, like, he farmed against FlyQuest in that opening game. And if you just minus that, let's see what rating he got for that. It was a 1.76. That would obviously bring his average down. And it's like, if he wasn't playing even in the final and he has that rating, he's not going to get the MVP, guys. That's not how this shit works.
No.
Like it doesn't happen like this. Zywoo, meanwhile, by the way, is just in fantastic form. Xertion had a very good event as well. I'll just give him an honorable mention. But Zywoo and Rops, it's like Rops can't catch Zywoo, but there's like an internal battle right now. And I think Zywoo, if Rops does get an MVP and Zywoo doesn't, I think Zywoo will just be happy for him.
Yeah. 100%.
There'll be no bad blood between these two guys, man. I think they just want the best. They look like they're enjoying this so much.
It's just so special for them to also have like two star players in very, very, very different areas of the maps.
Yes.
And role wise. So I think it's just, it's unbelievable, because even if we look at, you know, I was rewatching some of the game earlier today,
mm-hmm.
and just highlighting like Flames entering, and he was unbelievable against Falcons. I remember like, he's just getting popped out yard. He's consistently, even bonus rounds, getting kills. And he's doing it fearlessly. So yeah. I think they just have all the pieces.
Did I ask you about the whole thing, right? That like, Rops right now, having Zyru on his team, I feel like he thinks he can push even further, you know? Like, he can take more risks and more liberties on one side of a map, knowing that even if he does mess up or something doesn't go so well for him, like, look what you have on the other side. Look what can do the rest of the damage.
Yeah,
and that's the mentality I'd be coming with. Like, you can't, like, even if I go down, it's fine. Like, I'm good.
I think there's obviously you can take bigger risk, but I'm not even necessarily it's about that. I think it's more about, you know, knowing that I'm going to try my best and I'm going to do the right thing at all times. And you don't mm-hmm. really the think about, I can't fuck up. I think, you know, that's probably going to make you
That's out
passive.
Of your head, right?
Yeah.
So you're less scared to make those plays. You're less scared to take that space away from them. That's a very good point. Okay, I like your way of looking at that.
Yeah.
But so to end on Rivals, it was pretty good. It wasn't anything wow or amazing. It was great viewership for Blast as well, especially getting that final again. So that's epic. I just hope, like, this again is no fault of their own, but they were just in a situation where they had to move away. Just give us Rivals next year. I think it's going to North America or wherever the next season is, but give us Rivals in a little arena or whatever their plans is, and that would make it even more prestigious and nice in there. It's just kind of sad with the only 8 teams in there. That's one thing I'm not too happy about. But it does take us nicely, and that's why I'm talking about format and style, onto our next event. We're doing our preview of PGL Astana, and I'll also finally be back on the microphone, back where I belong on the stage, bringing all the hype for everyone.
Hey, you have a microphone at home.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. Doesn't give me the same vibe, man. Even if I hold this one now and I just rock it, doesn't do the same thing. But thank you. I do have a microphone at home.
You can always do like an intro to this episode, like, are you ready, Devil Walk?
Next episode. Next episode, we're going to run with that. We'll see how everyone who's watching the podcast enjoys it. But I will say this to you, mate, is that I'm so ready. Physically, maybe not ready, because we got to finish this podcast and then I'm running and I'm literally going to leave Ukraine and get to Kazakhstan. By the way, my journey is like 19 hours. I'm traveling, just for you to know. I leave 11 p.m. No, it's actually longer than that. I leave. What is the time in Kazakhstan? Let's do this now. Live on the podcast. I'm checking the time in Kazakhstan. Time in Astana now.
+4 there or +3?
So, yeah, +3. So, I'm leaving my house in 2 hours. Yeah? Obviously, there's war in Ukraine. I have to get across the border. It's very difficult anyway. But I have a British passport, so that helps. So, it's 8 for me right now. It's 11 for them. I land tomorrow. No, sorry, I land on the 9th, which is 9th at 1:15 a.m. And I have media day on the 9th at 9:30. So I've got like an 18 or 19-hour travel day.
Sounds amazing.
It's kind of crazy. But I'll tell you why I'm so hyped, because I'm going to be in a big arena that's sold out with lots of fans. There's fans coming from Kazakhstan, from different parts of Eastern Europe, from Russia, from China. I know there's people who have bought tickets. Some of the fans were telling me, like, people are coming to this event. Yeah.
So Banks, he's going to an event, right? He knows he has like a 16, 17 hour travel day. What is the essentials for Banks when he gets into that plane? He can pop his movie or show. What is Banks doing to spend his travel day time?
Anime. Lots of anime.
It's anime?
That's all I watch. Yeah.
Pre-downloaded.
Pre-downloaded. I've got Crunchyroll. I've got a Plex server. By the way, I will tell this is probably going to put... I'm a hardcore anime fan, like, very much so. But I've even got tattoos on me of anime. But I can't watch it unless it's in English, because my mind doesn't work when I read the English subtitles. So I don't listen to Japanese like people tell me to do. Bro, I can't do it. I can't read the subtitles fast enough. My brain doesn't work. I see subtitles, I look back up. I see subtitles, I look back up, and I'm losing something. It doesn't work. I know that's makes people very, yeah. Dude, I wish I was smart enough to be able to read subtitles and watch it at the same time, but I honestly have to pause to watch the great fight scene and then hear some.
But have you like, so there's obviously like, okay, we're going into this anime arc right now, but like I have to have this follow-up question.
Yeah.
But have you like heard the original voice actors?
Yeah, bro, some of the original is actually much better and more banger. I'd agree. Apart from Dragon Ball Z, I only ever heard that in English. I've heard some of the voice actors, but I'll say Dragon Ball Z because I grew up as a kid. I didn't even know about like Japanese voice actors. Huh. I only listen to it in English.
This is very interesting.
I am full listening in English. I know it upsets so many people. I've even had someone touch me on a plane and said like, oh, do you understand Japanese? And I'm like, no, I'm listening in English. Because he couldn't see the subtitles. So he just assumed I understood Japanese. And I'm like, nope, don't know Japanese, bro. No idea. And he's like, oh, you're watching in English. And you should have seen his face. And I'm thinking, you motherfucker, don't look at me with those judging eyes. Like, what is this shit that I have to put up with? Why have I got to accept this? Like I'm being judged for it. But I mean, yeah, I'm full anime.
I'm sure there's many people judging you right now as they're watching.
That is my life. So be it. I don't
give
a damn.
Okay, maybe we should get back into the Counter-Strike. Yeah.
So I'm just going to go on my thing about Astana. Astana has the best format in Counter-Strike. Sorry, PGL events in general because they run the same format. Yeah. They have the best format because it's all best of threes. It's a Swiss system. 3-0 you're through, 0-3 you're out. Lose 3 games, you're out. Win 3 games, you qualify. It has a third place decider. It's $1.25 million prize and pool. I've never been to Kazakhstan, so I'm just excited for that. There's a guy who's a regular in my stream. He's bringing me more Kazakhstan chocolate, which is great because that chocolate was amazing. He gave it to me at either the Copenhagen Major. I think it's when he gave it to me last time. He also, by the way, made a YouTube video as a guide to help people like players and people coming to Kazakhstan for the first time. So this guy's absolutely legendary. Yeah, the best format, awesome prize money, and we finally got a better group of teams here because you know all the PGL events because they don't have the like signed contract behind the books, whatever you want to call it, with teams. Spirit's going, Na'Vi's going. Now, I'll just say this. Even if Spirit and Na'Vi had deals with other TOs, which I believe both of them do, I'm not 100% sure on Spirit. I know Na'Vi do. They were never missing this because of the region. If you've got Ukrainian players, you've got Russian players, you're not missing a chance to be in this region from like a promotion point, selling jerseys. And then also both these teams could do with going to these events because Na'Vi wasn't at Rivals and Spirit wasn't at Melbourne.
Yeah.
On top of that, we got Aurora, Mongols, G2, new with Hades in, Gamer Legion, Virtus Pro, Astralis with Hooksy, my God, Pain, MIBR, M80, Furia, Furia speaking English with Yukinder and Molodoy, the local Kazakh boy.
There's a lot of these kind of like side quest teams that have interesting storylines in this event.
Biggs there. Then we've got Ninjas in Pajamas finally making it to a tier one event. Oddic, which brings back Woody, the rest of the team. Like, I know the names, I don't know so much about, but Woody at least was known within the Brazilian scene. And then you've got, by the way, I will just say this last team. I don't know how you fucking did it, boys, but it's 3 Russians, 2 Kazakhstanis, and Mo, the legendary player who won the Krakow Major in 2017. They qualified through the Asian region, yet it's 3 Russians and 2 Kazakhstan players. Like, what are we doing? How has this happened? How have you stolen the Asian qualifier spot, man?
Yeah, that's
it gets
that's
me every
crazy.
Time. It gets me every time, man.
By the way, shout out to HLTV, though, for having this Swiss system kind of...
Oh, yeah, like literally major simulator.
Yeah, it's... Yep. Oh, my God. Swiss system was hell.
Especially for coaches back in the day. Yeah,
oh, my God. Who am I going to prep against?
What do I have to do? I'm up at 1 in the morning preparing. But to get us through this, Devil, that's the team list we got there.
Are we just going initial matchups and then just who where is
well,
going
first
through?
Of all, I want to go just through the teams with you. Yeah. We spoke about the teams here. I'm just going to lightly touch on some of them. Spirit, clear favorites, right? By a mile.
Yep.
Consistent team. If they don't win, it's a pretty bad sign, I would say.
Yep.
But, Na'Vi. Oh, okay. But he said, go.
I mean, I still think there's, you know, they're clear favorites. But I still think, you know, you have teams like Na'Vi. I think you have Aurora. You have the Mongols. I think even throwing in a Gamer Legion in there into the mix, you still have a chance to going far and doing damage.
Okay, let me give you this then. As the ultimate Na'Vi fanboy and the number one Na'Vi fan, Na'Vi could win this event if it was a best of three grand final. But if they face Spirit in a best of five, it's not looking good for them right now with their current form. I think for Na'Vi, this is going to be a lot of testing when the top teams aren't here. Like, this will tell us a lot about their hopes for the major. And remember, both Spirit and Na'Vi don't go to Dallas. Yeah, I'm correct. They don't go to Dallas, which means they got more time then to boot camp and prepare for the major, which is what their focus will be. And the glorious Na'Vi Blade boot camps are obviously something to be wowed about. So this is going to be the last bit of information Blade gets to be like, okay, what the fuck is happening with my team? Why is it so bad right now?
Well, I mean, they are bad considering that we want to see them as number one.
Yes, but I mean, the drop-off has been huge now.
Yes, yes, it has.
The drop-off, it's not like a... It's almost on a phase level drop-off.
It is similar. I mean, I would put them, even in this tournament, I would put them as the fifth best team.
Wow. Who are you putting above them?
Aurora, Mongol, Spirit, and Gamer Legion.
You're putting Gamer Legion above them as well?
Above them, yes.
God damn, Devil. We had Ash on the podcast, and I do love him, but I'm not going to agree. I can agree with the other teams, but I can't quite agree with
Gamers. Okay, but I think Na'Vi and Gamer Legion are literally this close to each other right now.
I put them right now as the third best team here.
Spirit,
Aurora, Na'Vi in current form.
Okay.
Because I feel like Mongols have dropped down a little bit for me.
Let's touch on
some of the other teams because we're going to get into our matchups anyway, right? The other teams you mentioned, not too interesting, but it does get interesting at G2. It's the first event for Hades. He's standing in, you know, seeing what he can do here. They've had a bit of time as well because obviously they didn't play in the last events because they lost Munasi. So the last time we saw them was a second place at Bucharest where they lost to Falcons 3-0. They're going to be both at Astana and Dallas. By the way, for all the teams that are in Dallas and Astana, ESL are fining the teams who don't make it to media day. So if you make it to the grand final, you're not making it on to media day at Dallas, is how I've understood it. I don't think it's possible. Okay.
All right.
Like, I don't think this is working.
So what happens then?
It's going to be tough. There's just a fine. There's a fine in place, right? It's whatever's in the rule book.
Okay.
They'll still get to play.
They'll probably earn more than the fine will be if they're in the grand final.
If they make that far, yeah. But it's very touch and go. It's not easy to fly from there at all.
No. Okay. But we have G2, obviously. I think the one positive thing is that Hades is Polish. The IGL and coach is Polish. So maybe he can get up to speed a little bit quicker only because of that. But I don't necessarily have that high hopes for them.
Well, you really reaching with the get him up to speed quicker because he's Polish. They're all going to be communicating in English, but that's as far as you can get with
they
it.
Can have separate conversations that are non-English, man.
Okay. If that's the best we can give us, wait for them.
That is the best we can give.
Okay. Next teams we can ignore because we're going to come on to Astralis. Kadian gone. We touched on it in the last podcast. Hooksy's in. A lot of pressure on Hooksy's shoulders. Astralis, as far as I know it, remember it's the 7th of May right now. They're still called Astralis. I thought their actual name might change or they'd be bought out by them, but it hasn't quite happened. But this could be the last chance as you see it for these guys because this is an event where they need to show us what they can do. They're not at Dallas. Yeah, they're not fighting in that. So they didn't make the major. Hooksy's just here for one wild Astana ride. And to see if he can bring them to any form of glory. And I think he's going to be heavily judged and everyone's going to be super critical of him. Yet, he's not had much time. He should be given more opportunity with this. So, I don't know, man. It's kind of tough.
I think it's tough, but I mean, everything that we've been told in the past and what we know of Hooksy is that he's an incredibly hard worker. Monesi yep. said it himself that he's never played with a person that's worked as hard as Huxley mm-hmm. on and off the server. So he's definitely, you know, putting his hours in, putting the work in, and then it's just praying, you know, the kind of system works.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of expect better results than what they had with KDN.
Even though they
haven't had that much time.
I expect the calling to be better suited for Hooksy, considering what role he's going to play, yeah, and how he's going to use his pieces. And this is going to be also an amazing opportunity for Hooksy, but it's about the time they've been out. I hope they've been on a boot camp. I'll ask them that on media day, but I truly hope they've been on a boot camp. It's vital. Yeah. Next interesting team is Furia. English-speaking Furia. Cello's gone, Skulls has gone, Yekindar is in, and Molodoy is in as well. Local Kazakhstani boy.
Kerrigan said that his thing was a Hail Mary. What is this?
Throwing shit at the wall and hope it sticks?
It's something like that. But they get a little bit of crowd favoritism with the
Are they going to get to the crowd devil walk?
That's also a question.
Ah, mate, I didn't think that far. No, you didn't. I loved where you were going.
Yeah.
I will say, I'm all for Fallen to prove me wrong on this, but this ain't it. Yekinder, we was in rough state before. Molodoy, people are quite hyped about what he can deliver, but he's never played at this level with this much pressure. He's also learning English. I'm going to test him on media day and see how his English is, you know? But this is like still Fury in free flow, trying to work out what's happening and see what they can do. So I don't know, man, it's completely up in the air. Good luck trying to analyze this.
I mean, I think I'll just analyze it on a gut feeling, in the sense, you know, you can look at certain teams, you know, and roster changes, and you look like, yeah, that could work, and you look at Fury and it just feels like it's a little bit, you know, I
So what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a huge gamble from them. And
it is.
We've touched on it before. It just feels like more and more they're going the international route. And this is kind of the building blocks they want to take stepping into that world.
I'm just waiting for Fallen to become coach. Someone else comes in. Someone else takes over IGL. Another player comes in from Europe. And then they're three European players and they're not even North American.
They're definitely in a huge transition period. So I don't know how much to expect.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. We'll have questions right now, but we'll have answers at the end of the tournament.
Yeah.
If they make playoffs, by the way, Jesus Christ, I will make the biggest roar in the arena for that Molodoy. He will have the greatest opening speech ever. Local Kazakh dominating the world, moving to a Brazilian team. It's, I don't know how to say his actual full name. I don't even know what his full name is. What is it?
Let me check.
Daniel Molodoy got a Golubenko. Golubenko. Yeah, don't know how that's going to work. I'm rolling off the tongue, but we'll workshop that when it gets to it.
If he probably not even pronounced even close to that. But
no, I'll ask my wife. I'll find out first. but in all seriousness, you got Big there, same lineup as before. Zen, obviously the coach we saw last time around. Ninjas in Pajamas. The last team I want to touch on before we get into our predictions, because I'm really lacking time here. I am leaving very soon.
Yep.
Ninjas in Pajamas. First time at a big tier one event. The two Portuguese in with Wrinkle, the Ukrainian, Shush and Snappy. They came through the European closed qualifier. That was impressive. Because there were some very capable teams in here, like Bait, who made the major, Metasport, Bet Boom. That TNL team was there as well. Passion. Like, fair play. You made it through a very tough qualifier to get this done. I don't want to see them 0-3. I actually think they'll still be able to take a game. I don't have them going playoffs, though. But it's just, it's too big of a jump up. Your boy Exist is there as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, just hope they pick up a couple of VRS points and, you know, maybe make an upset against a big team. But as you say, it's hard to know what to expect from them, because they obviously have mm-hmm. very experienced people in this project. So being in this kind of land scenario should favor them in some extent.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's also going to be a little bit of rust coming into an event.
Especially playing this level of teams.
Yeah. But I also know, you know, Snappy exists. They're going to be hardworking. They're going to prep a lot. My fear is they're going to almost overprep and mm-hmm. almost shoot them in the foot, shoot themselves in the foot.
But, in the heads a bit as well.
Yeah, I hope, you know, I always want people that go through qualifiers. I want more people to be able to go through qualifiers to do well. So I'm slightly rooting for them, even though I've always been in the rival team of NIP. I am rooting for them this time.
this time you're on their side. Yeah. All right, let's go down our opening matchup predictions, DW. First game will start at 8 a.m. my time in Ukraine, so 7 a.m. for you. Aurora taking on Big. I'm going Aurora with that one, maybe even a 2-0. It'd be nice to see if Big could get a map from them. But Aurora, they've had actually time off to practice. There was a funny leak of Maja's desktop with his strat book that he leaked out there when streaming or something, which is kind of wild.
But it's just, I mean, just looking at both of these teams, you can, there's not really an argument to be made that Big is going to win this because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just looking at the stats now on HLTV. We have Big, they have 22% win rate, Dust2, 56% on Mirage, 30% on Inferno, 57 on Nuke, 41% on Ancient, and the other two maps, they don't have enough registered maps to even have a percentage. And it's just dominance. Aurora is winning on every single percentage, and they're much higher.
And the individuals are much sharper.
Yeah. 2-0, Aurora.
Cool. Astralis versus Odic. I'm going to ask how you say the team name, but the Brazilian side. This isn't even a joke. I'm giving this to Astralis. I've got faith in Hooksy.
Yeah, I think
it might be a bit scrappy. It might get a bit weird, but it should be still Astralis' wheelhouse. The individuals, they know, right? They've got no major anymore. Like, this is your event. This is the major for Astralis.
2-1. I think Odic could, okay, just because they didn't have enough time to maybe set themselves in a map pool, Astralis, to some degree, with Hooksy calling. So they'll probably be a little bit scrappy and probably lose Odic's pick, but claw it in a 2-1. All right.
Next game, Mongols versus Fury. Now, this is a classic that's been going back since 2023 of just Mongols eliminating Fury from playing events, winning, beating them overall, you know, doing very well against them. Mongols have only gone from strength to strength, and we already said we don't believe in this Fury of what it stands as, so I'm going with Mongols again on this. Probably a 2-0, but Mongols have had some shakiness within their own level, but this should be enough to 2-0 Fury.
Yeah, I think 2-0 Mongols as well. But as you say, you know, they are a little bit streaky, momentum-based. Sometimes Mongols mm-hmm. kind of stumble on themselves in a way, not necessarily the opponent. So, but still, should be fairly comfortable for Mongols.
Then we got G2 taking on MIBR, and I'll start with this one.
Ooh.
I think there's potential here for Hades just showing the best of what he can do, but I'm actually predicting an MIBR win. I think this is the type of game where MIBR can thrive. Play off their good communication, knowing each other, having some time together. Their recent results are not pretty if we're looking at MIBR. Like, they've not been living up to the standards of having a player like Insani there, and Lucchese for that matter. But I feel like they could take down G2 here.
So I'll even pose it into this way, right?
Okay.
Let's just say, you know, you have G2. They're ranked number 8 in the world. How many ranks downwards would you drop if you lost Monacy, do you think, is reasonable to say?
My God. A lot.
Yeah.
How do I put this into numbers? I can't even put it into numbers. It's hard to justify, but it's a lot.
Yeah. I'll probably say
the X factor. You have no X factor anymore.
Yeah. I'll probably say around like 8... ish ranks dropped.
Well, you're being kinder than me. I was looking at like the 12 to 15.
So I'll probably say that these teams are actually on probably at a pretty similar level.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So I think this matchup is a very scary one to predict. And it could go either way. I have no idea what to expect. But I'll pick G2 for this one. You're going MIBR. Let's make it interesting. Yep.
All right, next one, Na'Vi versus M80. Na'Vi all the way. I can't see it being any other opportunity. M80 just playing mainly North American opposition again.
Yeah, I mean, Na'Vi have to get their shit together and they have to start showing us that kind of clean, consistent Counter-Strike they were on before.
Yeah, so you just with Na'Vi all the way as well?
Na'Vi, yeah.
Cool. Virtus Pro versus NIP. Remember, this is Virtus Pro in a CIS event in Astana. They need to get the playoffs. They want to get the playoffs. And remember, they just had a bad event, so they're going to have a good event now because that just seems to be the VP way. Goes flip-flopping between good and bad.
And they do have their new coach.
Yeah.
Ooh. A weird part of me is coming through here. I kind of want to predict a 2-1 NIP.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll go 2-0 VP. You can have 2-1 NIP. We'll have to see which P gets the win at the end of it all. The pro or the pajamas. We'll wait and see. By the way, this next matchup confuses me. How did Spirit and Game Legion end up in an opening round match?
That's kind of weird.
I didn't expect that. Game Legion continues to take L's because of the VRS ranking. Should I work it out?
I'm trying to, but it doesn't even make sense.
It's because they're ninth on the VRS. So first play ninth. So the first team with VRS, the highest VRS ranked team is Spirit.
Yeah, but they're not ninth in this tournament.
Yeah. Maybe like at fifth. Maybe at the time when the seeding was done. Remember, it will apply to VRS.
Yeah,
VRS rank at closest to date is one we're looking at, but that's not.
It could be that Pain, VP, Astralis were above them, and that would put them to Pain's
position.
They're getting
mega wrecked, man. That's so unfortunate. Oh, I will say, Game Legion have improved a lot. And remember, they had that cool Katowice game at the beginning of the year where they took a map from them. It was the Anubis one that Game Legion won against Spirit. I'm going to take Spirit 2-1. But there's a bit of me, similar to what you said on the previous game, where I feel like Game Legion had a chance in this one.
Yeah, I probably reason exactly the same as you. I think Game Legion can definitely make things close, but I think over a free map, Spirit should be able to take it 2-1.
Yeah. And the final game, Pain versus Hotu. Even with this Hotu team somehow getting through the Asian region, they're not beating Pain, even with a new player coming in.
No,
Pain need to make quick work of them, dance all over them, and get a clean win, surely.
Yeah, 100% Pain.
Okay. I'm going to speed run us through the rest of this show, Devwalk. We're going to quickly get out on our wins here for the way we think we're going to make it. So, playoff teams. For me, Spirit, Mongols, Aurora, Na'Vi, VP, need to do 8, so there's 3 more I need to have in there. Gamer Legion, Astralis, and Pain. They're my 8.
So you're saying Spirit, Na'Vi, Aurora, Mongols, Gamer Legion, VP, Astralis, and Pain.
Yeah.
So you're skipping G2 from this list.
Yeah, I feel like G2 have a chance to do it. They could maybe take the spot of Pain, for example, but I'm just going to give Pain the edge because out of a weird situation in comparison to G2. Give me yours. Hit me.
And what choices do I have here? I mean, the top 4, like Spirit, Na'Vi, Aurora, Mongols, they're like clean in my book. I do think Gamer Legion, unless they get super fucked by someone else. You know, the classic Gamer Legion curse, or as we talk to Ash, where
just
like,
get wrecked.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, they lose to Gamer Legion, Na'Vi loses to M80, and they get Na'Vi in the second game or something like that.
Oh, no.
No, but I
got 3 more.
I think Spirit, Na'vi, Aurora, Mongols, Gamer Legion, VP, G2 Pain.
Oh, so I'll skip G2 Astralis. Okay, okay, you're not believing Astralis. That's fair. Now, do this with me. Who's winning the whole event? I'm going to give you my mad algorithm on this.
Okay.
Spirit and Na'vi, if they face somewhere in the quarters or semis, Na'vi can win the best of three and go on to win the whole event. If they meet in the final and it's Spirit versus Na'vi, Spirit win the whole event.
Okay. So
how do you see it going? If, who's winning?
The earlier Spirit play Na'vi, the better it is. The better chances
it is. Yeah, don't want to play him in a best of five. That's for sure.
Okay. All right. I mean, Spirit's the obvious choice.
Is it a must-win event for Spirit? Is this a must-win when you've not got Vitality, Mouse, Falcons there?
I think it is. I think they should be, on paper, much stronger than all the opposition and shouldn't even be close. Mm-hmm. If they want to be, you know, competing for that number one spot in the world with Vitality, if they want to, you know, even be remotely, you know, talked in the same bracket as them, they should win this event.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, let's see what happens then. But I
have an extra eye on Aurora. I think it might be a Spirit Aurora final.
Or a repeat of the very first event of the year, Blast Bounty.
But I think Spirit will win it.
Okay. Spirit all the way for you then.
Yep.
Well, that brings us to the end of a very fast episode of the All About Counter-Strike podcast. I apologize to everyone for watching. We had some delays in getting this filmed. Our guest had to change the date of when he'll come, but it will be a guest you guys should be very excited for. As always, do appreciate all the views, the support, the likes, the comments. Remember, we answer all your comments as much as possible in the YouTube comments. If you're checking out on anything else, any other audio platforms, make sure you're checking out on our Discord as well. This was episode 10. We'll have a much more detailed episode between Astana and Dallas for you guys. I promise you that. But I literally have to run because I'm about to go leave Ukraine and head my way to Kazakhstan for this 19-hour journey. So this is a bit of a mad rush.
And help your wife pack.
Crazy schedules, and help my wife pack if she hasn't finished just yet. Yeah, that's definitely something that needs to be done. Devwalk, any closing thoughts? Any final words?
No, just thank you guys for the tremendous support we've had. You know, I think it's just amazing seeing comments, hearing even feedback. Doesn't even matter if it's negative or positive. And the one thing I will promote a little bit is try to join our Discord. If you have any questions, you can always post them there. It doesn't matter if we have any specific guests coming on. We will obviously announce if we do, but you can just generally pop in there, ask your question, put it in, and we will answer them the next episode when we can.
Oh, we will. We'll see you for episode 11 after Astana and before Dallas. That'll be a quick episode in a runaround, not in terms of length of the episode, but quick of how we need to finish Astana going straight into Dallas. Thank you very much for everyone listening, watching, whatever you're doing. Make comments, drop a subscribe, hit that like button, leave a review if you're using Spotify, whatever else. We appreciate it, and we'll see you on episode 11.